Good morning. The first lesson is found in the book of Joel, chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. The word of the Lord. The psalm reading is found in Psalm 25, beginning with verse 1. Please follow the screens. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust.
I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause.
Show me your ways.
Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
Remember, Lord, for your great mercy and love, for they are from old.
Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way.
All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful to those who keep his commandments.
For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land.
The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant among them.
My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare.
Turn to me, gracious to me, for I am lifted.
Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me.
Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you.
May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned at the time from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as though the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that trespass might increase, but where sin increased, increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Gospel readings found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Before I get started, a couple of quick things. The psalm, just as you're reading the psalms, just a little tip. If you see a psalm that's 22 verses long, like that, okay, it's an acrostic. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and so each verse in Hebrew starts with that letter, and then the next letter, and the next letter, and it's so that you could remember, it would help you remember the words of the psalm, right? And so David wrote a couple of them like that. There's some psalms of ascent like that, that are written so that people can easily remember the psalm, just for your Bible study information. And then as a plug for next week, in this series about seeing Jesus, next week we're going to talk about seeing Jesus in answered and unanswered prayer. And I know a lot of people have questions about that. So it might be a good one to bring a friend next week, all right? So we'll talk about seeing Jesus in answered and unanswered prayer. This week we're talking about seeing Jesus and seeing grace, all right? So we started this Ash Wednesday. The season of Lent is about repentance. Repentance means turning to the Lord. Return to the Lord your God. Well, if we want to turn or return to somebody, we have to know where they are. We need to see them. So our sermon series for Lent is called Seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus. And the goal then is if we want to return to the Lord, repentance, we turn to the Lord, we see him, we go to him, he has his impact on us, and then we want to reveal him. We want to make him known so other people can see the Lord as well. And so this is about seeing Jesus. We need to see Jesus in order to see God, all right? Colossians says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. John said, "No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." So if you want to see God, look at Jesus. Jesus said, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip?" Philip said, "Just show us the Father." If you're looking at me, you're looking at the Father, right? So we need to see Jesus. See Jesus. Returning to God, so that return to the Lord your God, kind of implies that we got off track somewhere, right? If I have to return, that means I wasn't there. If you're lost, you need to go home. Okay, I don't know how many of you, so I used to go to camp and stuff like that as a kid, or I'd go to the YMCA. My mom always made sure that my address was, sharpied into my backpack so that if I got lost, somebody could help me find my way home, all right? So you get lost, you need to find your way home. Consider Jesus, if we're lost, he's our home. He's home. He is the address, the destination that we need to get to go to, okay? The problem with that is there are guys like me who have no sense of direction whatsoever, okay? And I'm not kidding about that. That's not a joke. I could get lost on a one-way street in a one-street town. That's a joke, but it's very, very close to being true, okay? GPS is, for me, is one of the greatest inventions of all time. But when I lived in Tokyo, which was just a crazy city, built over 1,000 years, nothing makes sense at all. You know, you're down in the subways, you're up above ground like groundhog, you know, and then you have these skyscrapers. There were 12 million people in the city at that time. I don't know how many now. And there were skyscrapers all around you. So you forgot there was a, they call them skyscrapers, but you forget there's a sky because there's so many tall buildings around you. Easy to get lost in a big city like that. The missionary that lived next to me, who'd been there for quite a while, did a wonderful gift. He taught me how to find landmarks. And I'd never really thought about that before, but he said, look, if you can find these landmarks, you'll really never get lost, because especially if you find this one, you know the next one's nearby, then you get to the next one, and eventually you're gonna find the one that's really close to home. And if you get close to home, it'll start to look familiar, and you can get your way home through landmarks, okay? If we're gonna return to God, if we wanna see Jesus, find Jesus, if there's a good landmark for us to see on our way to Jesus, it is grace. Grace, seeing grace. Seeing grace is the landmark that gets us really close to Jesus, because Jesus is grace. Okay, so John 1, again, we've said this several times now over the last few weeks, God isn't a little bit of something of what he is, right? He's whatever he is, he's all of it. Okay, so if he's grace and we see grace, we're on the right track to Jesus. With me? Okay, so John says, John 1, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Who's that? That's Jesus, okay? We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full, not half full, not three quarters full, not a smidgen, full, totally full of grace and truth. So we look to grace, we find Jesus. In Scripture, graciousness is a relationship word. You know, we need to know, if we're going to find Jesus through grace, sorry, Aline, I'm backtracking here, but if we're going to find Jesus through grace, we really need to know what grace is, okay? And grace is one of those words that's kind of thrown around now, but it's really a Bible word. There are certain words in the English language that have kind of been hijacked, but they're Bible words. You cannot separate these words from God. And, you know, we come from Christendom, a time when, like, the whole world was Christian, you know? So people knew that these words were biblical words, but now they just use these words. And so blessed, you can't extricate the word blessed from God, okay? That is a Bible word. Grace is a Bible word. But we use it in the world, the secular world, we kind of use it weird. Sometimes, how do we use grace? Okay, so Princess Di, remember Princess Di? And she'd walk into the room and people would say, she's the epitome of elegance and grace. What does that even mean? All right? I mean, so we look at athletes who are just these amazing athletes, right? Dating myself, Michael Jordan, Herschel Walker, Lynn Swan. Boy, I'm really dating myself, right? Probably that's the last time I watched football, was when Lynn Swan was a player. But people would look at him, he could leap like a gazelle, you know? And they'd look at him and, wow, so graceful, he's so graceful. Baryshnikov, graceful, right? Well, yeah, these people are born with a certain amount of talent, but they had to work really, really hard to make them look like they were born with it, right? So this is not exactly grace. It's not exactly, grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to get it. You can't get better from how. I mean, it is what it is. It is a gift, okay? And it's a relationship word. In the Bible, grace is a relationship word. God tells us, and it's who God is. God says, I am gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So if God says, this is what I am, he is completely grace, okay? So gracious, in Scripture, gracious is a relationship word. The Hebrew word is chanun, and it's only used, by the way, for God. That word is like only used for God. And it means that he leans toward us. He's inclined toward us. Like there's something in God that compels him to love us and to want to be in relationship with us. And so he leans toward us. He's inclined toward us. It's totally a relationship word. And so God, the grace is that God will do what he's got to do so that those who want to can be in a relationship with him. He's a gift giver. He does the work. He gives the gift, okay? Gracious. Because he's grace, he gives grace, which means he has compassion for the abused, he has forgiveness for the sinner, he has strength for the weak, and he gives every good gift. Now, Paul was talking about this in Romans 5. You just heard it. I'll have to admit that if you're anything like me, I hear Paul talking about some of these things, and by about the third sentence, my brain just goes, what? And it gets like myopic, and it's just all words at some point. So you kind of have to break him down a little bit. Paul is he's a wordy dude, but so on. He's so on. And so he says, but the gift, and remember, he's talking about Adam, right? This is the rebellion. Adam, God lifted Adam, dropped him in the garden, gave him everything he needed, had one command, right? One command, don't eat that one, right? And there was a trespass. The trespass was rebellion. And Paul writes, but the gift, the grace, by the way, so here's word thing. Sorry, I would do the word things, but it's good to know this. The word for grace is charis. The word for joy is hara. The word for gift is charismata. I think you can see the connection with those, okay? Charis, hara, joy, is a relationship word. It's how you feel when you're with somebody who loves you. Charis, grace, is a gift that you, if you have a gift, you buy a gift, you make a gift, you can give a gift to yourself, but really what's a gift for? It's free to give to somebody else, right? And so the word charismata, gift, when we even talk about the gifts of the Spirit, it's the graces. It's the graces that are given, right? So grace, grace is a gift. It's a gift. And so the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace, what's Jesus full of? Grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. And I want you to picture God's grace and Jesus being like a geyser that just never stops, right? We sit around and wait for Old Faithful to blow, and it's kind of fun when you imagine that just going all the time, all the time, all the time. And that is the grace of God flowing through Jesus Christ. Out of his love for you, he wants you, so he gives and gives and gives and gives and gives so that he can have you for himself. He wants relationship with you. It's all relationship stuff. And Jesus is the actual embodiment of God's grace. And I hope you can see the connection between grace and Jesus and the cross, the graciousness of God. And the gift of God who wants to bring us into this relationship by giving his life to pay the penalty for our trespasses. So Paul goes on, verse 15 there, or 16. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. So think about it this way. Like I said, Adam only had to do one thing. And he ate it, right? That's all. He didn't, just don't do that. And he did it. It was one thing, and he brought death into the world. Well, imagine since then, there have been billions and billions of people who've done a lot worse. You with, right? War and abuse and slave. Don't get me started. So much. Sin abounds. But when your sin abounds, God's grace abounds more. Why? Because he'll do anything to have us. He wants you. He wants you that much. He's not counting up your sins. So, we see Jesus. Oh, sorry, I didn't finish it. For if by the trespass by the one man, death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? And we see Jesus when we see God's grace, and there's no place we see God's grace more clearly than the cross, where he paid the price. That's the cross. When you see the cross, you're seeing grace. When you're seeing grace, you're seeing Jesus. The law, all right? Paul says, the law was brought in so the trespass might increase. That's a weird thing to say. But the law itself was a gift. The law was grace. I know this is really hard to understand, but the law was a gift of grace. Why? Okay, why is the Torah a gift? We know it's a gift. John 1, you got to follow the words here very carefully. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. That was the grace already given. So the law was grace already given, grace and truth, the full grace came through Jesus Christ. So we know law is a gift. Why? Because the Bible says it's a gift. So if the Bible says it's a gift, it's a gift. We often look at the law as a curse, but it isn't a curse if we actually obey it. David in the Psalm said, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He's good, so he gives the law. You get that? He's good, so he gives the law. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. Well, what's the problem with that? How many of the Ten Commandments did you break by 7:15 this morning? All right? Okay, see, like, so he gives us the law, it's a gift of grace. If we can follow it, we're in right relationship with God. And by the way, this is kind of a cool thing when God has a plan for you, it's not just a plan for you, because when he gives you a plan, it's going to be too big for you to do alone, because you're going to need him to do it with you, and he wants to do it with you. So he gives you big plans that are far too big for you, so that you'll say, God, will you do it with me? And when you're doing it with him, then you can do it. Does that make sense? Okay, well, this is very similar here with the law. I mean, it'd be great if we could all walk in righteousness and walk in the law, but we all mess up. Luther, right, said, There are many uses of the law, but there are two main uses of the law. One is to show us the righteous path that keeps us in right relationship with God. But that righteous path is so hard that the other is to show us how much we need God's grace as salvation through Jesus Christ. So yeah, the law shows us what we can do to be in right relationship with God, but it even more than that shows us, man, this is too hard. I need a Savior. And Jesus is the fullness of grace. He's the Savior that we need. Okay? So, the law points out that we need God to truly fulfill the law. We can't do it on our own. God helps us to overcome our sin through Jesus. Now, Romans 5. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. That's good. That is good news. Do you get why that's good news? If there was a limitation on God's ability to be grace, we'd all be in trouble. But there's no limit because he's God. Okay? So, that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness, not our righteousness, but his righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if we can see that grace, Jesus is the grace that we need to be right with God, and if we see that grace is a gift of forgiveness and understanding and kindness and life, then, okay, the question is, what are we going to do about it? What are we, not to earn it, remember, because it's a gift. If it's a gift, okay, you can't earn it. There should be no strings attached. If it's a gift, you don't do as much as you can, and then it kicks in. It is a gift from the beginning. With me? Okay? So we realize, oh, man, God, I want to be with you, but I can't do all this stuff. I need a Savior. Jesus, okay, repent. Jesus, I'm looking for you. Wow, look what you did for me. That's the grace. We move to him. He already is moving to us. He's already there. He meets us because he loves his prodigal son. You know, the dad is looking for the son. The son gets, and the dad's running to him, right? God meets, he forgives us, he loves us, we're one with him, and we're disciples of Jesus Christ, and we've received the gift of grace, so now what do we want to do? We want to reveal Jesus. We want to make him known, and we make him known by being people of grace. So what does that look like? Okay, Psalm 25. The great thing about David is he is such a real guy. He is a real guy who made real mistakes, lots of them. And he understood. He had a human heart that broke easily. He was a sensitive dude. He was hurt all the time by people. And he wasn't afraid to let people know it, you know. So he's asking this. He's God, right? And this is what we do. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Be gracious. What does that mean? Look, kindness and love and forgiveness and mercy and generosity, right? For I am lonely and afflicted. So question, will we see Jesus if we form relationships, friendships with people, especially the lonely? We'll see Jesus, they'll see Jesus, right? Will we see Jesus if we say and do healing things instead of afflicting things? Hard to see Jesus if we're in the middle of doing things that hurt other people. Right? But if we do healing things, as Jesus is a gift-giving healer, we're going to see Jesus. That's grace. We'll see him through his grace. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from anguish. Will we see Jesus if we soothe hearts instead of giving people emotional heartburn? Will we see Jesus if we decrease anguish instead of being a source of anguish? Yeah. Grace upon grace. We become grace people. Look on my affliction and my distress. Take away all my sins. will we see Jesus if we give the gift of forgiveness? See, that's something Luther taught in the Small Catechism, and it's been funny over the years. I'll ask people, what's the office of the keys? And they'll be like, huh? But if you went to confirmation, you should have learned that, right? Because it's in the Small Catechism. It is from John. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. Luther called it the office of the keys. The keys to the kingdom start with forgiveness. Forgiveness. And that's grace. Grace. So we give grace. We see Jesus through forgiveness, kindness, mercy, generosity, and love. And you become a landmark. You become a landmark for people to see Jesus when we do this. And then he gets the glory. We return to the Lord our God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love when we see Jesus as the grace of God, and we repent, we turn toward Jesus, and we move toward Jesus by being grace like he's grace. And then God leans toward us to give every good gift. We can return to him by leaning toward others in Jesus' name with the grace that he first showed us. Amen? Now, we get to go to the table, and we have this, like, amazing reminder of everything Paul talked about, which is the Son of God, full of grace, and the image of this being broken open so that grace can flood out. You get that? Right? From the bread to the cup, from the body to the blood, is life for us. Amen? All right. So let's.